Okay, so thank you for welcoming me in the Bitrage community. It's my first conference, my first talk. There is something like 5 seconds TH, but it's disturbing because since, and I heard myself. Okay. So the Bitrage conference. As I said, thank you for welcoming me. 20H. You wanted. I will not, because I hate this national anthem. It's a call of mass murdering, and I don't want me to think the Marseillaise do that. And let's try another thing. Auferstanden. I will sing it. Auferstanden und dir zum guten Dienet, Bitrage unser Vaterland. Zukunft zugewandt, lass wie uns. Okay. So, why do I love it? They are so. This anthem, because it's a beautiful message. For example, using peace. This is good. This is no mother shall again mourn her son. Something I cherish. Okay. I'm born and raised in Elsass, former German colony. Actually, I work for Renater, which is a French national research and education network. I work as a philosopher. Okay, who I am? I'm Marc Chantreux, Tampa Project, and I'm a founder of the Green IT working group. Since I gave a talk about this, specialist member of the French. I'm born in the late seventies. The same year same as for Commodore PET, which is the very beginning of computers, Apple I. 1 year before for the Macy's, right? So it was okay. There was a lot of computers back then. There was incompatible. There was a lot of things. There was a lot of ideas, maybe stupid. People were discovering and experimenting, some more genius, but use the Apple I, but I started I didn't use the MPC came at the very beginning, and there are a lot of in the 90s that disappears. Astonishing personal computers, Commodore, Amstrad, there was awesome things, and they disappear because of the empire, you know, the business is futile. And finally, I be there in everything, and resistance was the MPCs, clone, and Apple, Mac, became the only ones, almost. Talk about the sociology of the European users of personal computers of the last millennium, but it lacks of bibliography, so I have to share my. I would like to my own feeling about that. If you vision, please share with me if you have more accurate theorized. Also, I'm very interesting. In Steve, there is a documentary, 4 episodes. There are some American business perspective, triumph of the nerds. Which explains how the big company is take over this land of in the very beginning of the opportunity that personal computer were 90s. There is another one about Commodore, but I didn't I don't know how to find it again. Thing is a series of video by Post for me. Another interested Nelson, who invented the hypertext, and Xanadu, for and which is called Computer for the Cynics. Okay. So, a child in the 90s. You can have some rare wealthy neighbors. So you can where to find a PC when you are a children or see 64 and at school on computers and use Amstrad CPCs and Commodore or clubs mainly you can have TO7 which is French computer almost it wasn't that good and it was born dead because it was slow and only in France so the software library was TO7 very slow computer less not that much RAM and software distribution. This is an interesting part. Programs not developed. So if you wanted to have a new software, you have to basically read the book and rewrite. Were hard copied in books and magazines. You can share software with audio text code by yourself, or you so what tapes. And it was really slow to load. What we made was social engineering in this in a sense and of we share a lot and you better write simple stuff, collaborate a lot to learn about programming. Those kind of limitations. So you write simple softwares, you have simple softwares in that case with so you expect also simple softwares, even for adults. So how do we learn to program? So computer were new for everyone. Copy program from the books, and we peer mob program, and we read the manual together, right? It was really a club, and asking and answering questions was the basics and actions in those kind of places. There was a lot of social interest. Software lifecycle were straight, released soon because we were exciting. We wrote a software to help us to solve problems. So we release soon and often because we release for ourselves and everything that was working was used immediately. And development usage iterations were very fast. So actually it was agile methodology and it at least that old. So, was it futile? Yes, fuck yeah. Was it fun? It depends. But mostly, I have very good memories of this age. Was it social? Yes, I transmit the knowledge and share the knowledge. Was a very strong bind between those people. Is it possible to desire this this usage? Yes, of course. How do you think it becomes a market? For example, the first spreadsheets. You don't realize how minimalistic it was, how slow it was, but it was awesome comparing to pens and papers, right? So yes, it's useful. So then I owned my first Monster in the middle of 80s, almost 8 kilograms of metals and siliciums, two floppy drives. It was awesome. It was fast. It was blazing fast comparing to audio tapes. It was, excuse me. Oh, sorry. Okay. So yes, 8 kilos of silicium and metal. Overclocking, yes, it worked. 16 colors and 20 megabytes in a file card, which is the ancestor of hard drives. Yes, it was a new world to me, and in the 90s it was more. IBM PC clones as VGA cards, so 200 colors, it was awesome. Sound blasters, the first sounds, we had beepers before that, but the real sound, it was awesome. There was Amiga. Amiga was groundbreaking. I never felt this thing again. For me, it was a gap. You had before Amiga, and this is history. And Amiga blew my mind. I never felt that way again. Okay, so then my our imagination. I feel this is only not only me. Lot of people. We have imagination from now to what we saw when we were children. So, rediffusion of Star Trek, Tron, Blade Runner, War Games. Those movies were about computer at its finest. You talk to your computer. He is intelligent. He solves problems for you. And okay, we were eager to create those kind of computers. And then something terrible happens. The market were took over by companies like Apple. The most powerful person in the world is the storyteller. The storyteller sets the vision, the value, and the agenda of an entire generation to come. Steve Jobs says that Steve Jobs was right, and I don't want to be gross, so I don't want to comment the visions, the values, and the agenda of those people, right? They transform a land of freedom to a market. They stolen all the possible futures and created some toxic monoculture. They sent proprietary software, so we couldn't share anymore our knowledge. Gates was clear about the fact that they want to do closed software and not share and make people buy. They became customers. They were not user anymore. People that pretending that it was a democratization of computing, it's lying. It was a creation of a market, a huge market, and which basically was about stalling the freedom of those people. And also the good and known programming tool chains became unaffordable. Borland were not possible for something for children or for students or people. It was for good for companies. So that's why pirates and crackers were so healthy in this ecosystem, is so healthy in this time. Then there was Unix, and I discovered Linux and internet in also in the 90s. So Unix was to me the OS of the mainframe, with a software designed by scientists, not electronists and hobbyists like the computer, the personal computing. The KISS philosophy, I discovered the KISS philosophy, and I discovered Perl, and yeah. I know you don't like Perl, but it was awesome to me, because it was everything I learned from the Unix culture in the same tool on steroid. That was Perl, what Perl is to me. But no more C, and I became unaware to the details of the system, which is sad. I realize now, but okay, things happen. Okay, also IRC newsgroup and FTP. When I saw that, I remember all the hard time I had to get and pay documentations, hard copies and disks and BBS, and it was horrible. And I say, okay, the next generation will be awesome, because they have all they need, just one click. The documentation is one click away, right? So they will be awesome, but didn't happen. Also, Gopher, for me, it was a cool replacement for FTP, because for FTP, you had to download this index file and check it, and then go back to the FTP and download the file you want. So Gopher was a cool replacement for me, and everyone told me that it will be overseen by World Wide Web. And when I saw the first time a browser, a World Wide Web browser, I was not convinced that it could dominate at some point the computer industry. But guess what? Yes, it did. So also, my first paycheck, my first job, system administration with MS DAC, which was Windows NT 4 Exchange. Yes. It was horrible. And stop your Linuxing Microsoft One. That's why my former boss was a very wise person. When you send resumes to apply to a new job, back in those days, it would be a Word format only, PDF, even PDF wasn't wasn't known at this time. Years passed and open source returns. Basically, because of LAMP, Linux, Apache, MySQL, MySQL, and PHP. Not a good part of open source, but at least it was open source. And then Python and JavaScript stack came, and yet I was okay. It's open source, but did I like it? I'm not sure. Something was missing. I didn't know what, but. Okay, because of the rise of online services, the battle we lose was the Mozilla configuration panel. It forced people were uneducated and were forced to use computers, and they don't want to learn the about computers. They don't want to read the documentation, and help desk was overloaded. The critical resources at this time was educated technician time. Most of the there was a lot of newcomers. We just knew about Windows and internet, no real computer background. But it was easy at this time to become hired in an IT company. So. The deal, the strategy was: don't educate, provide new service and software. We can buy a new server. You can buy new software. It's harder to find a good technician. So give them what they want. They want not to think. They want to use. They are consumers. And I don't know what technical debt was. Even not only was, but even today, the meaning of technical debt isn't understood by the managers, I think. So yes, hosting service was no deploy. So technician time savings, right? No deploy, no configuration, no problem of configuration, so help desk will be cool. But it means no more expectation, because we created a harder monoculture of not knowing what a computer can do for us. And no more freedom, because you use the software and you shut up. Open source become a tool of control, because remote hosting and web services, unnecessary complex tasks, no more care about software quality, no more. And we fixed it in the it in the very wrong way. Instead of go back to carrying software, carrying documentation, carrying, trying to refactor something, we added a lot of things, and we push the whole crap in data centers and with rules, and we expected it to run. Continuous integration is not about software quality. It's about be sure we can always add crap, right? So at this time I gave up a long time ago. I was, people don't want to understand, don't even want to listen. It was just about business, it was about money, and yes, I was doing little things by myself, for myself, and I didn't want to share anymore. Then I had to change recently because of climate change, biodiversity collapse, and raw material shortage. This made me stand up and think. That's why I started to do conferences about how IT sector, IT industry is broken, and Okay, so to be sure, everyone knows a basic of that. In the 50s, Uber say, okay, when you extract something, you have this curve. At the very beginning, it's the happy days because everything is easy to extract. Then you extract a lot, and at some point it becomes harder to extract. So it become you will push really more energy to get the same thing, right? The same volume will be more and more difficult to have. For example, in energy, when you extract in 90s, when you extracted one, when you push one barrel in extraction of oil, you will go back with 100 barrel. Nowadays, it's about 1 for 3, right? So Uber was worried and right, and what a very basic economic, the more you dig, the less you have. Givens was an economist, and he said he told about the Givens paradox, which is basically if it's easy to get, it will be wasted. Everyone will want more more of it. So in the 70s, the Club of Rome deliver a study, which is the Meadows limit of growth. Basically, they did the math and they predict a system. And the predictions were pretty accurate since then. There are a mathematical model with prediction, and they are good. And something like now it's 50 years. 50 years, and it works. So, and if you look to the next decade, the predictions are really bad. As I said, those two topics are mixed up. Sorry. Great acceleration. Go to the internet. I will add some links in the slide. So, download the slide and check the. Okay, it's terrible. Basically, we should be reducing the consuming of everything, and actually, everything is exploding. Also, carbon inequality, which means that this is also a study. Most of the pollution is made by our lifestyles. You know, most of the people just want to eat, and they don't have access to internet and high quality porns and stuff like that. So, also energy transition is a bullshit, because what you see in you. If you check the graphs, is we produce very few new energy, and we consume more and more fossil energy. Okay, about but Bitreich should be aware because of. The impact of our digital life. Electronic waste are huge environmental problem. Extraction sites and manufacturing is a disaster for the environment. And between 2 and 10% of the global energy consumption is due to digital usage. So nowadays we do studies that is a life cycle assessment, which basically we try to not only measure the energy consuming, but also the whole process, you know, from the mines to the moments when your old smartphone is thrown somewhere in Africa. There are just estimations, but we don't. It's really hard to be precise and to be. There is so many parameters. The thing is, it doesn't matter if you focus on dynamics and order of magnitude. You will see. For myself, my conviction is, we are screwed if we persist. We have to change something. We should focus on lower environmental impacts of the production. We should reduce the rotation rate. We should wisely choose what we need, what we really need. And at some point, my opinion is, let's face it, no matter their digital sobriety strategy, one terminal by person, or one or more terminal per person is just unaffordable. It's not sustainable. So I think we should go back to something like what we had in the 90s, you know, having some places with computers to share our digital lives and to share the means of access to this digital life and provide assistance to people. And we should go back to digital conviviality. And if you don't know what is conviviality, I'm not an expert. I'm not really sure because I'm not a philosopher. But basically, conviviality is a concept by Ivan Illich in a book called Tools of Conviviality. And what he wants, what I read in that perspective is, things have to be simple and open so they can be shared, learn by the most, masterized by many, easy to maintain, and hard to lose. When I say hard to lose, I mean, if you have, you know, the boost factor, right? If you have one superstar technician who died, everyone is screwed because he was the only one to master the thing. So the more we are to master something, the less it's hard to lose. So digital minimalism should not be called. I think we should software minimalism. We should say digital conviviality, because honestly, it fits what we think, what we missed so much in the computer industry. It sounds familiar to you, right? Because read the Bitreich Manifesto, and it's exactly that. People are scared about the future. They should be much more scared about the consequence of inaction. Post-personal computing could be useful, yes. It could be fun, could be social, and we could desire, because it solves real problem. Not no more kitten in the intraweb, but I think we will have other problems, right? The software, less software mean more humans. We can provide assistance even if the software is harder to use. It's not important because human will provide what the assistance needed. Less services, more advices, you know, because if you do a click, for example, if you use a calculator, you don't learn to, you don't memorize the multiplying the basics of calculus, right? We became technology dependent, and we it's not a good thing. Bitreich could help help leading new generation to digital conviviality, because honestly they have no clue. A lot of young people just don't even know what how simple software could be, and we should provide more example of usage. And Bitreich can also help preparing and preparing the resilience, because if we go to some point where very few materials will be able to run a computer, I really wish some computer will survive, because it's very useful. And so we will need a software that will be able to run on very simple devices. And also all the energy we can spare by using simple software, convivial software, is energy we don't know how many lives we can save by acting as a decent person right now. Okay, so we should be more empathic with the customers and make them users again. We should think about I will do from myself. I don't want some people will be okay, but I tried to do that. To think about their usage and create tools, for example, to set up meetings and stuff like that, but a simple way, a Bitreich way. Also, provide some tools of ergonomics, for example, utils like IO menu, for example. It's very easy to set up and can be very useful to help beginners to master things. So I am running out of time, out of slides, but I have so many ideas to share with you. If you're interested by digital conviviality, just join